Romans chapter 16, let's turn in the Word of God to this passage of Scripture. It was fully my intention to read the opening 20 verses down to the first amen. There's two amens in this chapter, and that was my plan. But you know, time is pressing on, and I was looking for an excuse not to read all these words, because there's a lot of names, and I don't think the people that I would read would recognize their names. And if you glance down the passage, you'll see all those difficult names. I had been going over and over and over these names in my mind, and even yet, if I mention some, it might not sound just the way that they would have recognized their name on their day. But we'll do our best. And the words that we want to consider are actually the opening two verses. So that's what I'm going to read. I'm going to read my text. I'm going to think about this farewell from the congregation to Norling. And we're going to think about these words for a little time. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the law, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Sometime read the chapter, especially the words that go down to the first amen, the opening 20 verses, and just look at these names and see what's being said here. But by in prayer, Almighty God, we commit ourselves to the Lord in His Word. This is Your Word. It's not man's words. God has given this book, and we believe it. We believe it, every chapter, every word that You've given. And Lord, there's relevance here for us all these centuries later, even as we draw our thoughts to think about Phoebe, this one that came highly recommended by the apostle. Lord, speak to us. Bless Norin as we talk a little bit about what we read here and how it's applicable to this congregation and to Norin and to the work in Uganda. We pray that You'll just shut us in for these minutes now in the close of the service and do our hearts good and speak to us. We always account it a tragedy if we come to God's house and we leave the same way. If the Lord doesn't speak, if He doesn't open His Word, He doesn't have a message for us, what an awful thing that is. And so we think of the Savior when He said, take heed how you hear. Help us to hear Your Word today for Jesus' sake. Amen. So the text is the opening two verses, and the person, of course, that we're thinking about in the Word of God is Phoebe. And undoubtedly, these words that we've read have been used in connection with Norin in the past on more than one occasion. Very, very applicable. Probably from the time she was first sent out, and maybe a time or two since. Not only myself, but others have talked about Phoebe and sought to make some kind of application to our sister Norin. Phoebe was one of those outstanding women in the New Testament who helped greatly in the work of the Lord. And we know people like that. We know people among us that come to this church and attend other churches, and they are just like this dear lady. This woman was a dear woman who had a great testimony. And don't you know people just like her? The Holy Spirit of God causes Paul to pause for a moment or two here in his commendations as he mentions the name Phoebe. I think at a rough count there are 27 names in these opening 16 verses that are mentioned by the Apostle Paul as he brings greetings and salutations to these dear saints who were beloved in the Lord. Now most of them are just mentioned by name. Nothing really is said about them. They're just mentioned in passing. And then we have others, and a few comments are made about their character and about their ministry and about their labors for Christ. And It's the right thing to do. It's the proper thing to heartily commend the dear servants of God who have labored with distinction. And that's what Paul does here. We have some lovely and memorable descriptions of these sincere Christians and helpers in the work. Note some of Paul's remarks, and I think that you will want to be mentioned in here somewhere. You will want to be among these individuals. Put yourself there by the grace of God with some notable comment being made of your Christian testimony. Epaphroditus, he calls his well-beloved. He must have been a great help to Paul when he gives him such a title here. Mary bestowed much labor on us, he says. And that's a different Mary than the other Marys that you read about in the Scriptures. Andronicus and Junia were his fellow prisoners, and he must have spent time with them in bonds and imprisonment. And he makes a comment about them, who are of note among the apostles. They stand out, says Paul. Amplius, he calls my beloved in the Lord. Urban is noted as our helper in Christ. Apelles was one who was approved in Christ. Tryphena, or Tryphena and Tryphosa, labored in the Lord, whilst Persis labored much in the Lord. Little extra description given. There are those who labor in the Lord, and that is great, and yet here is one that is singled out as laboring much in the Lord. In verses 3 and 4, Priscilla and Aquila have a short commentary made about them. They were my helpers, says Paul, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. These saints were very dear to the apostle, and not least, the one who is standing top of the list and has the most said about her, Phoebe. She was a sister in Christ. She was a servant of the church. And she was a succorer of Christians, especially Paul. In 50 words, Paul gives us this beautiful description of this saintly woman. Someone has called her the woman who wore the badge of kindness. Wouldn't you like someone to say that about you? If you're going to wear any kind of badge, that you wear the badge of kindness. We can say these things about Noreen. I believe that with all of my heart. Noreen, what I say today is not to in any way embarrass you, and it's not to in any way lift you up above that which you deserve. I'm speaking from my heart, and I want you to take it that way, and I know our people will. Noreen is a very dear sister in the Lord. She's a diligent servant of Christ, 16 years in the land of Kenya, as we've heard. Before that, in her own Christian school here in Ballymoney, and now willing to go to Uganda. And she has been a succorer of the Lord's people. Some of you know this firsthand. And only eternity will reveal how many she has succored in the land of Kenya, from the missionary team to the children of the school, the teachers in the academy, the staff, the women of the church, and the pastors also. And I have to say, as Paul did, of myself also. Now, Noreen has a change of direction in her life, going from Kenya to the land of Uganda. She's fully persuaded in her own heart that God has called her. An effectual door has opened onto the Free Presbyterian Church to enter through. And our mission board is delighted that Noreen has been called to this new work. And we thank God for the 16 years of faithful service already rendered. We will have a missionary team in Uganda eventually. We thank God for forerunners. People have gone out for a little time. They've done work there. We thank the Lord for their contributions. We have the Millers who are presently in Uganda, and they've gone for this initial period of 9 months. Our sister, in the will of God, March, April, whenever that will be next year, will join them. And then eventually Andy Foster, who is in our college and seeking to do deputation work next year, he will in the will of God, towards the end of next year, be another missionary there. What do I want to say to you as a congregation and as friends of our missionary work and friends of Noreen today? It really is in these opening two verses of Scripture, and taking even the opening line, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Only we're saying, I commend unto you Noreen, our sister. And that's the way the emphasis will go. I have three simple points that I want to make. The first one, we're going to spend a little bit more time on it because more is said about this than the other two points that I want to make. And so we're thinking, first of all, about the reputation of the Lord's servant. Everyone has a reputation. It's what they're known as. Every one of us. And Phoebe had a reputation. Setting a godly example. Being a valued member of Christ's body. That the great apostle mentions her by name. It's not every name that you could mention and set forth as an example to all of God's people. But here are names in this list that is given by the apostle in these closing words of the letter that he writes to the church at Rome, which are listed, they're put down, name by name, for all of us to note and to mark out as those who were helpers, those who were laborers, those who were beloved in the Lord and approved by Christ. And among them, most eminently and prominently, is Phoebe. She stands there, top of the list, and more is said about her than any other. And surely that speaks for itself. She had a reputation in the church that was notable and commendable. She is particularly singled out as being what we've noted here in these opening verses, as a servant of the church and a succorer of Christians. This was her reputation. She stands out on the pages of God's record among the devout women of the Bible of which the Scriptures speak. My friends, the Scriptures are the Word of God. And what the Lord wants us to know about anyone in the history of that period of time is marked down in the Bible. And some of them stand out. Hannah, for example, stands out eminently there in the Old Testament Scriptures as a woman of prayer. We read about her in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and how she came to the house of God in a time of great distress in her life, a time of great need. And you remember what she said, I have poured out my soul before the Lord. That's how she prayed. Is that how we pray, brethren and sisters? Hannah prayed by pouring out her soul to God. And you know the story. Would to God that all Christian women were like this. And they had Hannah's reputation. Esther is noted for her courage and self-sacrifice. After 3 days of fasting, she said, I will go in unto the king, and if I perish, I perish. And she became an intercessor on behalf of the Jewish people, her people. And of course, we would want to be like that. We would want to stand before the Lord as those who intercede. In the New Testament, we have women like Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. We have the blessed Mary, blessed among women, the vehicle that God chose to bring Jesus into the world. We have Anna, too, the old widow who departed not from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. We would have to put Mary of Bethany into that list, too, who sat at Jesus' feet and learned from him. Well, my friends, Phoebe stands without question with them, shoulder to shoulder, singled out here by Paul for her remarkable reputation in the church, a servant of the church and a succorer of Christians. You want to mark these things. You want to emulate them in your life. Our dear sister Noreen could be described in such a way. Some have suggested that Phoebe, like Lydia, was a woman of means. Now, Noreen may not be known as a woman of means, but it's reckoned that this one that we read about in the Scripture was a woman of means and position, which enabled her to render service to others. She used her money to help and encourage many around her. And of course, that is our responsibility, as God has blessed us with substance, to use what we have to be a blessing to other people. Doesn't Paul speak about this? In the body of Christ, and you want to see yourself there. If you are a child of God, you are in the body of Christ, and you're in the body of believers here in the church at Hebron. And as Paul writes to this people in the city of Rome, back in chapter 12, he speaks along these lines. He mentions the gifts that God's people have. He mentions seven gifts or functions. Let me read the verses to you. It's Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, which is preaching, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, we'll come back to that word just in a moment, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. It is very interesting to note that the word ministry that is recorded here is the word that we get the deacon from. It is the word in the Greek diakonia. And that is exactly the same word that is used in chapter 16, verse 1, when it speaks about Phoebe. It is the Greek word diakonos. It's a word that clearly means practical service. There may be the thought about the ministry of the word, but that's not the original. And undoubtedly, this was one of Phoebe's gifts. The Bible commentator Hendrickson makes the point that this ministry or service can be of various kinds. In the story of Martha and Mary, Luke chapter 10 and verse 40, it involved preparing a meal. That is ministry, by the way. And this is a busy time of the year, and our women have been preparing food, preparing meals, even so that we can sit down and fellowship after meetings. And over Christmas time, if you're going to serve others, it may necessitate preparing a meal, doing it in the Lord's name. Maybe you'll have some of God's people around over this particular period of time. And then, of course, we can think of the ministry of the deacons. The deacons' work was thoroughly practical. It was to look after those that were in need, particularly in the church, and look after the financial side. Hendrickson wrote, "It may well be rather difficult for us to estimate the importance the apostle attached to the work of the deacon, the church's ministry of mercy. We should bear in mind, however, that in the days of the apostle, many believers were anything but wealthy. Some were slaves and free men. In fact, in this very epistle to the Romans in chapter 15, verse 25, the apostle states the reason why he cannot travel straight to Rome, but must first visit the saints in Jerusalem." And you look up that passage. Why could Paul not go straight and visit these people that he loves so much? Because he told them there, "I've got to go to Jerusalem. We have lifted an offering, we have lifted a collection to help the poor people in Jerusalem. And so therefore, I'm going to be delayed on my journey." Hendrickson went on to say, "It is noteworthy of special attention that the man who insisted on purity and doctrine was at least equally interested in the cause of showing generosity and aiding the poor. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, he most strikingly connects the grace of giving to supply the needs of the poor with a central doctrine of the Christian religion, namely that of Christ's voluntary humiliation in the interests of sinners." You know, I was just looking up that reference, thinking about it there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7. Let me read it to you. "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." And the gift that he's speaking of, by the way, was the gift of helping others. It was the ministry to others. It was financial help. And then this is what he says in verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And Paul brings Christ into the very center of the matter here by way of example, and how that Christ gave himself as a sacrifice, as Paul is encouraging the people of God to be sacrificial to those who are in particular need. Now, two of the other gifts Paul mentions are worth noting in passing. He talks about giving here. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity or singleness of mind. And showing mercy, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And the thought here is to do with the poor, the sick, the dying, the suffering. It is the ability of imparting genuine Christian sympathy and understanding to those who are in need, and to do it sympathetically and cheerfully. John Calvin, writing on this passage, he said, "For as nothing gives more solace to the sick or to anyone otherwise distressed than to see those cheerful and prompt in assisting them, so to observe sadness in the countenance of those by whom assistance is given makes them feel themselves despised." You know, we go to try and be an encouragement to others. We're not to be going with gloominess. We're to be going with the very compassion of Christ and the cheerfulness that is in our hearts as those who are the Lord's people. A simple visit. That's maybe all it'll mean to those that you know who are in need. Just taking time out for half an hour, calling at their home, just to let them know we're thinking about you. Or it might be, if you have the opportunity to pass on a word, just put your arm around them and say, "Listen, I know what you're going through, but I want you to know I'm praying for you." Just two sentences. That's all. This is what the Bible's talking about here. Not going to mention who it was, but I noticed today as I came into the church before this service took place, Brother Francie, you arrived. But I just happened to notice, because I knew what I was going to preach on, there was a man came to you, brother, and he put his arm around you, and he welcomed you here. And no doubt he was saying, "I've been praying for you. I've been remembering you." And this is what Phoebe was, and this is what Paul is discussing as he talks about these gifts that are given to the Lord's people. Maybe it's even just the shake of a hand, without a word. But there's something very powerful in the shake of a hand that communicates to that person a knowledge that we're thinking about you. We're praying for you. Giving of her time, giving of her ability, giving of her finance, whatever it might be. Phoebe was all this, a servant of the church and a succorer of many. In other words, she did what she could. She used whatever means she had. She employed the gifts that God had given to her. She spent her time serving others. My friends, this was her reputation. She was known for it. It wasn't just words. My Paul is speaking by the inspiration of God here when he writes these words. God put it into his heart to say something about Phoebe that was absolutely true. So they're not just words. These were real. She stepped in with real service and succor, and she helped many, many, Paul says, in the church. The word that the apostle uses for succorer is actually a most expressive term. It literally means one who stands by in case of need. It's a classical Greek term describing a trainer in the Olympic Games who stood by the athletes to see that they were properly trained and not overtrained, but rightly girded when they lined up for the signal. One of our Bible expositors translates this phrase, She, on her part, has proved a standby, almost a champion, one who stands up for others, as champion of many, and of me among them. Noreen has been just like this. She has a good reputation among us. She has been a Phoebe in the church, a servant and a succorer. And I know the work, and some of you do, that she has done among the children of Kenya. I know those who have come to the office in the school constantly looking for help, sometimes coming to the door of her home. I know the trips that she has had to the hospital, caring for the sick in Kenya, and not least just recently with the Reverend Kendagore. I know the help that she's been in the church. We often talk about serving the Lord, don't we? Being a servant of Christ, giving over of our time and our substance to promote the Savior among men. And of course, that's what a Christian is, preeminently, chiefly. That's what Paul saw himself as. He began probably all his letters as he did this one in such terms. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. That's what he saw. I'm a servant of Christ, first and foremost. But how do you render that service? You ever think about that? First and foremost, it is in the church. And that's why this woman is called a servant of the church. If you are a servant of Christ, you are of necessity a servant to his body, to his people, to the church. A servant of the church and a succorer of many. And maybe just a passing remark before we come quickly to the other 2 points. The word Phoebe, the name, means radiant. It means bright. It wasn't a Jewish name. And so it's very likely she was a Gentile Christian. She had been converted from heathenism. But when I pondered this and I thought of what Paul says about her, the reputation that she had, I thought, how appropriate. She was radiant and bright for the Lord. There was something beautiful about Phoebe. And that was her reputation. And I believe that's what Noreen has had as far as her reputation is concerned. And that's what we all ought to have as a reputation among the church. The relationship of the Lord's servant. We're told here she was a sister. Noreen, you're a sister. A very dear sister to this congregation. Such is the kind of terminology used by the Lord to describe the relationship among his people. We are a family. We are a family in the most strictest and richest sense of the term. When Paul calls Phoebe our sister, he's evidently referring to the fact that she is a sister in Christ. She was a member of that spiritual family in which the relationship is based upon the redemption that we have in Christ and the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit of God. And I would give you one reference. You can look it up for yourself. It's Galatians 4 and verses 4 to 7 that speaks along these terms. That's the relationship that we have, the one with the other in the church. We are brethren and sisters. God is our Father. Jesus Christ is our elder brother. The expression here is one of endearment, highlighting our unique relationship, our unique unity, our unique love and concern for each other. We've got to see ourselves in the family of God. There's an old saying, and you'll be familiar with this saying, blood is thicker than water. You know what that means? It means families stick together. And that's a good thing. But I want to add to that. I want you to think about what we are in grace. And when people say blood is thicker than water, I often say grace is thicker than blood. The relationship that we have with Christ and his family is the deepest relationship that we have in this world and will be for all eternity. Noreen is our sister. You want to see the significance of that. You want to see the significance of the word "our," because it strengthens the term sister, giving further emphasis to the bond and the relationship that we have in the family of God. We're sending out our sister to Africa. We're sending out one that is our own family member, one that we love, one that we highly respect. And thus great is our responsibility to remember this sister before God in prayer. That's our relationship. And that's the relationship of the Lord's dear servant. And then the final point is the recommendation of the Lord's servant. Paul says, I command unto you. Or you might put it, I recommend unto you. It seems most likely that this dear sister is the one who actually carried the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Rome. The Christians in Rome are being asked to receive her. You read it here. Receive her in the Lord. And they are asked to help her in whatever way they can. And Paul is stressing the fact that as this dear servant of Christ comes among them, that he can highly recommend her. Her testimony is beyond reproach. Her help in the work of God was outstanding. She had already proved herself being a great assistance to many, including myself, says Paul. It's a wonderful thing indeed that this woman had touched the lives of so many. And so with absolute honesty and a heartfelt love, Paul, writing to the members of the church there at Rome, in these few words, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. I can recommend her to the church. She's been a faithful servant. She has been a hard worker. She has been a kind and a generous friend, a great encouragement and strength to many and to me. And she comes to dwell among you for a while. And when she does, you receive her well. You look after her. You help her all that you can. We have a recommendation to give concerning our sister Noreen to the church in Uganda, to the mission station there, to Emmanuel Christian School, to the staff and the pupils. And it's right here in the Word of God in the same words. Receive her in the Lord and assist her in whatever business she hath need of you. And sister, we promise, as we said on Thursday night, to pray for you and to be the rope holders that will bring you before the Lord continually and remember you in prayer. We commend our sister Noreen to the church in Uganda for the work that he's called her to do. Time is gone. We just simply ask you to think about these things. Think about Phoebe. Think about what the inspired word is saying about her. Make the application, please, to Noreen. Make the application to your own heart and life. And may the Lord help us to be men and women just like this, where we can speak with honesty that we have a good testimony among God's people and we are a servant of the church, the body of Christ. May the Lord bless his word to all of your hearts. We're going to have a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee that we can commend our sister to the church there in Uganda and to the work that she'll take up. And we do pray that the people will take her upon their hearts and will help her in whatever way they can to settle in and to fulfill the ministry that God has given to her. We pray that thou will protect her, that thou will surround her. You've spoken about that already, about the Lord being her guard. We pray that thou wilt, O God, be with her in the work that you've called her to and make her mighty for God in that land. Thank thee for the years spent already in Kenya and for the little work she'll do there even over the next number of months. But Lord, as she takes this massive step and she goes to Uganda, relocates, we pray that God will be in it all. And that thou will bless thy servant, thy child, who has been a servant of the church and who has been a succorer of many heretofore. In Jesus' name. Amen. The hymn that Noreen chose on Thursday night to have sung, we're going to sing again. It's the hymn 423. I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me, and his arm around me thrown, then my soul shall fear no ill. Let's stand to sing.
Thank you.
Lord, dismiss us now in thy fear and in thy love. Bring us to our several homes in safety. Bless us through the afternoon. Remember the ministry in the three homes that we'll visit. And remember tonight's meeting very especially. Visit us, Lord, with revival, with the quickening power of the Holy Ghost, for Jesus' sake. Amen.